Special update.
The truth is, we're in so much debt that the only way out is revolution or war. So now the question is, which side are you on? On.
Which side are you on is the urgent question for May Day 2020. The global pandemic has punctuated the fact that workers versus the corporations is the name of the governmental game. Listen Friday, May 1st, 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. to WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York as workers and union organizers around the globe offer analysis on workers' rights and well-being and how the people can create a worker-centered world. All power to the people.
Hello. This is Mike Pender, co-founder of the Moody Blues. You're listening to WBAI, New York.
Yes, this is WBAI, New York, 99.5 FM, streaming globally at WBAI.org. Time now for Malika Lee Whitney with Untitled.
Welcome to listener sponsor WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the World Wide Web. I'm Malika Lee Whitney, and very pleased to welcome you to this edition of Untitled. Our guests include a comeback by Lana Turner. She's a personal organizer, event producer, fashionista, and the topic clutter, critical mass challenge 2.0 is what we're going to present for those of you who need a little support in helping you become more organized. Ava Rice, president of the New York Urban League, and we'll be discussing the program's mission. It's been around for a long time, as well as the impact on the COVID-19 virus on operations. In addition, Kyung Park, who is the front person for Pacific Beat, and the discussion will focus on building community care platforms for indie community theater. And Kyung will be joined by Raquel Almazan, President and Board of Directors of the Indie Theater Fund, discussing that same topic. So stay tuned. There'll be some tributary comments, poetry, and a lot more. WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org.
New York City. 2020 is a huge opportunity to make our voice heard. This year, we have the power to decide our city's future, not just for the next 4 years, but for the next 10 by getting counted in the census. The census is about power, money, and respect for our communities. If our city is undercounted, we risk being underrepresented, especially our communities of color. In 2010, only 62% of New Yorkers responded to the census, with the lowest response rates in our black and brown communities. In 2020, I'm going to tell you something. We can let this happen again. If you want to stand up to the status quo and the five people in power who wants to silence us, start by getting counted in the census. The census is safe, easy for everyone. And remember, the citizenship question is off the census. No matter what anybody tells you, immigrants with or without papers count too. Mi gente presente. Go to my2020census.gov now and fill out 10 simple questions to get counted.
Thank you, Cardi B. Good evening.
Good evening.
Lana Turner on the line. Thank you so much for joining us once again for Clutter Critical Mass Challenge 2.0. This evening we're going to talk about that particular item that seems to pile up on us, paper. So I'm going to let you take it away and give us some special points to be able to handle that tiger.
Okay. Well, I'm going to try to make this quick, but I'm going to try to cover a lot of territory. I think for paper, which is probably the biggest obstacle toward trying to get past all of the things in your life, let's start out with the hardest thing to tackle, because it seems to mount, it seems to be in the way, and there seems to be plenty of it. So let's start out with thinking about just that pile you haven't been able to get through. You know that what you want one day is in there, but tackling it is another story. We are all at home. It's a good time to take this moment to say, okay, let me tackle this. So how do we get started? First of all, you probably have a big pile. You call that general pile. You're going to get the few things that you need. You don't have to run out and buy anything. You probably have some scrap paper around that you're going to use to make labels with. You should have a magic marker or at least a pen or a pencil. And what's important, too, is just having an area where you can put things and they don't get moved until you're finished. So from my point of view, I call it a staging area. You want to have a couple of paper clips around, some rubber bands. If you don't have folders, it's okay. You can use the paper clips or rubber bands until it's time to be able to go out and shop for some folders or boxes to put them in. But the most important thing is let's get organized and let's get the stuff out of the way. Let's say you've got a pile of things and you look at the first thing, it's a medical bill, okay, and you think you still need it for some reason. All right, put it into a pile that says medical, write on your scrap paper, medical, put it there. You're going to further break that down. Let's say you go to physical therapy or you go to the dentist or you go to the eye doctor. You're going to make piles for each of them, but for the moment, make big medical pile. If you can make those subsets as you're doing it, it's even better. That means you have to handle the paper less times. So everything you find under it, whether it's a bill or some instructions, put it in under those headings. So that way you don't have to keep picking it up. And you do the same thing for all the other things that you have, whether it's a rent receipts or your co-op maintenance receipts, if those are things that you keep, your telephone bills, etc. So those are the big things. Let's get down to some of the things we really do need to think about, and that is, I would say, let's jump into the most important things, your important papers. What would those things be? Well, at this point in time, let's think about a health proxy, something you don't think about oftentimes or often enough, until, of course, we end up going to the emergency or, you know, having to go to the hospital for some reason. This is a good time to start thinking about who would take your desires, the things that would be important to you and to take care of you. Think about your health proxy now. Who would you want to have notified in case of an emergency? Who would know anything? Is it your next-door neighbor? Is it your child? Is it, you know, a trusted friend down the street? You need to let somebody know so that, you know, someone can get to you. But that needs to be in writing. What would happen if, for example, This is a good time, by the way, to even start thinking about wills. Nobody wants to think about this. People don't get around to doing it, and yet you think about it, and then it gets dismissed, and you say, oh, later. This is the later time. Consider to do it later. And so that what you could do is to simply, if for those of you who have computers, you can look at the documents online and just start thinking about what the things that are important to you. You're the only one who knows this. And it's not about you're creating your own legal document. You may need some help for that. But you can use that as a guideline. Think about the things that you might want. And these are very important things. And it's a great time, even if you have a will, pull it out right now. Review it, because what you wrote down a couple of years ago, things change. So you want to review that. I tend to look at it every 2 years on my birthday. That's what triggers mine. And while we're at it, I think it's also a good time for you to begin to write your own story. Everybody's lives are important, and your important life needs to have some things in it. So you say to yourself, I'm not a writer, but you don't have to be a writer, but you certainly have lived quite some time. You've done some things. Things are funny. Think about some of the milestones in your life. What's the craziest thing you ever did? What was something that you might have learned that changed your life? What music do you love? Did you take an adventure? And by the way, while you're doing that, now that can just be an outline. You don't need to do any major thing, but just think of this as a whole story of yourself. When you start separating out your papers, don't think that what you're doing now is not important. In fact, because all of us are living through our own history, it's also a really good time to think about writing out every day something about what you're experiencing. Now, again, you don't have to be a writer. Maybe it's just a word on the calendar. Maybe it's a sentence that you can write about your own experience, whether you are beating pots out the window at 7 o'clock, or how you have picked up packages for your neighbor, or you have kept time for someone's, taking medication or something. We're all doing something to help not only ourselves but our neighbors. But this is one of those things where you can, as you are thinking through your life and writing out your life story, you can also think about writing your history. And your history is actually today.
That is so nice. You've shared this in such a creative way. It's wonderful. Let me just reintroduce you. On the line, we have Lana Turner. She's a real estate professional, organizer. As I said earlier, I love saying fashion maven, and a collector of vintage clothing, hats, and footwear. And she's also a wonderful swing dancer. You're breathlessly going through all of this wonderful information. And I just wanted to add also that in case you miss the first segment of this helpful suggestion series that we're presenting, you can always go to the WBAI.org archives and hear Lana Turner sharing again. So as with when something's good, it wraps up quickly. So just some closing comments before we move on to our next segment.
Before we move on,
yes.
I just want to throw in there one other little thing you can do. Now's a good time to go through all those stacks of photos you've got laying around in your drawers and boxes and piles. Please look at these photos. Look at every single thing. Because, honestly, some of those things, you can't tell if Uncle Little Buddy was in it or Aunt Emma was in it from a while ago. Anything that's not a strong image, is now time to start getting away from all of those things. Get rid of it, people. It's time to let things go. Things that are strong, things that are really meaningful, hold on to those. Make sure you label them in the back. Try to put them in some kind of chronological order, or maybe the order in which you know, certain people reoccur, and you'll have a memory that way. We can always talk more about this later, but I think tonight I just wanted to try and get you through life paper, both things that you need to sort out, things that would be creative that you could do, important things you want to remember to think about, and, of course, the images that will go with, you know, a good part of all of your beautiful lives.
Thank you so much, Lana Turner. And hopefully, as things change for the better, we'll be able to once again have the dynamic duo working and helping our community members get lives in order. Thank you so much, and I want to wish you a swell evening. Again, WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. I'm Malika Lee Whitney. The program is Untitled. We'll take a short break before we go to our next guest, Avra Rice. Thank you so much for joining us here on Untitled. Avra Rice is president and CEO of the New York Urban League, and reading from its mission, that is to enable African Americans and other underserved communities to secure first-class education, to be able to acquire the respect for their lives, their citizenship, their civil rights advocacy, through the programs and services that you all provide. In this time of COVID-19, I would imagine the organization is making lots of adjustments, thinking ahead in terms of how the services that the New York Urban League has been offering for so many years can continue without too much of a hiccup. And you are one at the helm and making sure that the young people that I've seen at many, many occasions have benefited from the support that the organization provides. So how are things looking ahead?
Well, good evening, and thank you so much for the invitation to talk to you a little bit about the work of the Urban League, how COVID-19 is affecting Black people, and how we're looking at our new reality. So you're absolutely right. We had to, at a moment's notice, like the rest of the city, transform our work from being individual to individual, New Yorker to New Yorker, to really a virtual reality. And so we had to move all of our programming online. I've been on more Zoom calls than I've ever been in my entire life. And I've been on Instagram Live, and I've been on meeting and GoToMeeting. So we've had to move to a different way of doing things. And some of it has been exciting, and some of it has been challenging, and a lot of it has been both.
So much of what you do really monitors the progress of our culture, and certainly news reports of recent has begun to identify to a greater degree the disparities that affect particularly the African American community and other communities of color. And the focus being on that particular group of individuals, how do you look to maybe reshape how you approach that assistance and support, given that so much has to be done digitally now? And there's that another kind of distancing, if you will.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, yeah, as you just mentioned, we recently did a town hall on COVID-19, looking at how it's impacting the lives of African Americans, and we, you know, basically did that for the five reasons why we're being disproportionately impacted. Which at this point, there's been a lot of town halls and discussions, and so it's no longer news the way it was even 2 weeks ago when we did our first town hall. But the fact is that African Americans make up the majority of people who are essential workers. So we're the ones who can't stay at home, but we actually have to go to work. We're the majority of people who work in healthcare services. The social distancing is difficult for us because you don't have, you know, the large mansion on the in the east or in Westchester that we can just go to and spend our time in our country home. And then also there's the underlying health concerns and health issues that impact African Americans, whether it's obesity, diabetes, and then all the stereotypes that were also out there in the beginning. You know, folks didn't believe that we could get the disease. And so as a result of that, we have been disproportionately impacted. So an African-American is twice as likely to die in New York City and five times as likely to die in Chicago of COVID-19. And so those disparities have definitely had an impact in the way that we're thinking about our programming, the way that we're talking about doing things going forward, because our conversations that we're having both with funders, with people who are supportive, with community members, as well with, as government, is there's the immediate needs that people have, right? There's folks who aren't working and suddenly food needs are exacerbated. The number of people who have applied for unemployment and unemployment benefits have increased. There's the issues of social isolation and those people who are at home and suffering from mental health and depression issues, as well as being in communities and families where it's not safe to be in isolation. So all those issues are here currently, and then also the impact of that is going to be 6 months and 12 months from now. So we're strategizing on how we need to address those issues currently. What are the pressing food shelter issues that people have right now, and then also the impact that it's going to have on the economy going forward.
Was the town hall, is it something that you will likely present again, and is there any way to access either highlights from that gathering or something that folks can listen to online?
Absolutely. Great question. So we had our very first one was on April 9th, and as I said, it was at the time a kind of a novel idea to bring together some leaders. We had Congresswoman Yvette Clark, State Senator Kevin Parker, Public Advocate Jemani Williams, and Deputy Mayor Phil Thompson, who talked about what was the city, state, and federal government's response to COVID-19, and talked a little bit about the CARES Act. And then just last night, we had our second one that really focused in on mental health and wellness. And so we had the CEO of Harlem Hospital here and as part of the conversation, as well as a number of different people who were talking about general health and mental health. And so the original town hall can be accessed by going to the New York Urban League's website at www.nyul.org. The town hall from last night will be available in the next couple of days. And so we just need a chance to edit that a little bit, but that one will also be available. You can go to the Urban League's website in order to see those highlights. And our next town hall will take place on Thursday, May 7th from 6 to 7:30.
Great.
And
great.
So they'll be able to be part of the next one.
I'd like to shift to education, remote learning. You are surrounded often by eager youngsters who are seeking their degrees, you know, at higher levels. And how is the Urban League addressing that change in the way young people are being educated? And are you having to sharpen the tools to be able to meet the new demands?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, let's be clear. It's difficult. You opened up and talked about the digital divide, and the fact is that that was exacerbated by what's happened. So like I said, nobody had planned for us all having to work from home. Nobody had planned for our children to have to now be educated, you know, obviously by their teachers, but also to have this parental support. And that's difficult for parents who have not had positive experiences themselves in the public school system. And so they're asked to work remotely, to work digitally. And a lot of our students don't have laptop computers. They don't, you know, they don't have access to the internet. If they do have a computer access, it may be on their cell phone rather than on a functional machine. And if there's more than one child, then you have issues of, you know, who's going to be on the using that equipment at a time. Then there was also issues around connectivity. If individuals had existing bills, it was great that a number of our carriers offered, you know, 30 days of free service, but there were questions about, well, if you had an open bill, would you be able to get that free service? So those were all the issues. Those are all the things that were set up as barriers. And then in addition to that, learning as a digital learner is something that needs to be taught. So just because you're a good teacher doesn't mean that you'll necessarily be good at doing it over over a screen, right? And so, and the teachers, the congratulations and thank you to Chancellor Karan, who tried to work very hard to do, you know, training in order for people to get prepared. But once again, no one saw this coming. And so, unfortunately, if anyone's going to suffer for having to make this transition to working digitally, it's going to be our young people. And so we need to really focus our efforts this summer and this fall in order to get them back up to speed, because we know that there's going to be some educational lags as a result of the interruption that the coronavirus has created.
For an organization that's done so much, as I said earlier, for so many years, and consistently, when new dynamics are presented in our daily lives, the adjustment is just insurmountable, you know, but we're strong back, and mm-hmm. have to find a way to get through it. Do you foresee any programs that might assist parents who are having to school at home, you know, and might need the support to do that? Are there any other attendant organizations or extensions of the New York Urban League that might best be able to handle that?
Sure. I think that an organization that has done a really good job of creating educational materials is a group called Classroom Matters. And so I would encourage people to look online. They've done different educational curricula for each grade level. And so I would definitely encourage them to look at that, depending on where your callers are listening in from. But no matter where they're listening in from, Manhattan Borough President Gail Brewer issues a daily update on the coronavirus, and in that she always lists resources so that they can look for educational resources that are listed there, as well as City Councilman Corey Johnson also has a volume that he sends out that has a list of educational resources, as well as ones for housing and for employment. And so I think it's a terrific resource to look at. I mentioned that the New York Urban League had an initial town hall that looked at the CARES Act. Our second one was on mental health. The one that we will have on May 7th is going to be on educational disparities. We will also have another town hall specifically on education and resources for parents. So I encourage folks to take a look at nyul.org in order to be able to stay abreast of the different offerings that we're going to be having available for parents, community members, and small business owners.
I would certainly expect that some of the studious ones that I've had the opportunity to meet might be considering careers in medicine, you know, as the need mm-hmm. for health-wise, empathetic, and knowledgeable facilitators of making us feel good and healthy. Is that a particular focus? I'm sure there are broad ranges of interest, you know, that young people have at the early stages of their college careers. Is there any program in place that might encourage them a little bit more to consider the field of medicine?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Urban League has not had a program specifically focused on medicine in a number of years, but we really think that after what the world has experienced over the course of this last couple of months, that there will be a newfound interest in science and medicine, which we welcome. We think that careers in science, technology, engineering, and math, or STEM, is the future. And so we encourage individuals to be involved and engaged. It was wonderful, as I mentioned, at our last town hall, we had Sister Ebony McIntosh Carrington as the CEO of Harlem Hospital, and she's a wonderful role model for any black girl who wants to, or black boy who wants to be involved in the field of medicine. So we certainly encourage young people to be involved in that area, and definitely encourage you to reach out to us at the New York Urban League. We will certainly put any young person who's interested in pursuing a career in medicine in contact with resources in order to help to support them to make that dream become a reality.
Ava Rice, I want to thank you so much, President, CEO, New York Urban League. And I know there's much on your plate, especially, as I said, with the new dynamic that we're all facing. But we shall rise above this and be able to do what is expected of us in community. And bless you for all that you continue to do on behalf of so many people. And I have to give a shout-out to T. Butler, you know, a very special associate that we both know very well, who helped me to make this connection and link with you. I want to wish you a very pleasant, safe, evening, and I look forward to seeing you again real soon. Take care.
Thank you so much. And to everybody, please complete your census.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Coming up, another musical break before we go to our next guest online. And as always, you're listening to the sounds of Kevin Nathaniel from the CD Imbira Sanctuary. And we'll be speaking with Kiang H. Park, Kiang's Pacific Beat, as well as Raquel Almazan on the topic of building community care platforms for indie community theater. Stay tuned. WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the World Wide Web. And do consider supporting this listener-sponsored non-commercial radio station. I'm Malika Lee Whitney. The program is Untitled. Real good. I just want to read a little bit from the Kiang Pacific Beat statement, and it's something that gives me a lot of things to consider. How do we hold each other in this moment? How are we building collective resilience and reflection? What can we imagine and desire for our collective well-being and survival? That's very close to my heart, because we have to be focused, committed, and directed when we're talking about loving, supporting each other. And on Monday, May the 4th, from 6 to 8 p.m., the Building Community Care Platforms for the Indie Theater Community will be part of an important conversation. So I'm going to ask you, Kiang, to begin to tell us how this all came about, and we'll also look forward to hearing from our other guests as well.
For sure. Raquel. Hello, good evening. Mm-hmm. So my name is Kiang Park, and I'm a playwright director, artistic director of a peacemaking theater company called Kiang's Pacific Beat. And along with Raquel, who is here on the call, we serve on the board of the Indie Theater Fund, which is a nonprofit organization established in 2008 to support the indie theater community working off Broadway and in the outer boroughs. About 6 weeks ago, we started hearing from our membership about how the eventual theater shutdown and the upcoming shelter in place orders were going to affect our community. So Raquel, our executive director, Randy Berry, and I very quickly started taking the feedback and concerns we were hearing from our community and established a rapid relief emergency fund to provide direct financial support to people in our community who we knew were going to be affected. But as we had deeper conversations with our members about what was going on, we also sort of placed in line access to legal, fundraising, and mental health care services for our community, because the way the pandemic is now affecting us is both the shock of not being able to practice our art and to be able to gather, which is how we make our livelihood, but also looking at the very devastating economic impact that this would sustain over a prolonged period of time. So we established actually our first gathering for our community on Monday, March 23rd, and we invited Kara Page, who is architect of the Healing Justice Movement, performance theater artist, and also founder of Changing Frequencies, to come speak to our community. And Kara invited to co-facilitate this first session Erica Woodland, who is the founder of the Queer and Trans Therapists of Color Network. That first gathering was very illuminating for us. We shared some information on how this pandemic is traumatizing and can trigger a lot of intergenerational trauma in our experience of what's happening at this moment. We were provided tools to think about who we are and where we are in community at this moment of social isolation and physical distancing. And we incorporated a kind of healing practice to our conversations to also find ways to help us calm our systems, our bodies, and to find grounding in this present moment so that we could understand that it is okay to feel alarmed. Our bodies are doing what they need to do to stay alive, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we are alone. So we are building this second session to think about how we can create platforms to create more horizontal conversations between each other, even though we are physically distanced from each other, and to consider the ways we can activate these strategies and these needs to take action to provide each other mutual aid, advocacy, and well-being in this time.
Kyung, that is really a very full and comprehensive response that tells us a lot of times some aspects of how we're feeling internally when something as serious as what we're experiencing right now, sometimes it's not addressed on the mental levels, and we're supposed to like try to be strong and just get through it, but it takes a lot. And I'd like to ask you, Raquel, because I know that aside from the position that I identified you as being president of the board of directors of the Indie Theater Fund, you're also a performing artist, director. You do a lot of other things as well. So you see the arc of emotions that people display when they're performing, but those that are inside of us that are hurting, that are craving companionship and company, that are missing the routines that were really so sustaining, how, aside from the supportive way that you are assisting funds-wise, but just human to human, and how is it affecting you in that way?
Yeah, I think what I've come to realize in the last coming weeks is that there is a battle between institution and the individual. I think that individually, specifically people of color and immigrants and differently abled people and artists are being affected in different ways. And that you can see that the larger infrastructure of this country is blockading support to specific communities. And so for myself as an artist who focuses on working specifically with these kinds of communities, in a way, we are being attacked. And that, as you know, Kyung said, that we have to come together in creating new spaces now that we're isolated. Because since clearly the government has decided to attack people of color and immigrants and other individuals from this kind of support, it means that we could be eradicated from our field. But then also that also like part of theater is maintaining cultural rituals. And what happens when we don't have a space to practice those rituals anymore? And, you know, practice coming together through even new rituals. So, and I think that what we're doing now is we're creating new virtual rituals in terms of how do we continue to be in community, and that that independent theater artists and specifically people of color and immigrants have sustained ways of maintaining culture in this country, and that theater is just one of the main ways in which we do this. And so our incredible facilitators are going to be able to guide us through a process that we can really focus on the needs of individuals and also like those venues, like reaching out to what is going, what kind of a field are we going to be coming back to and how can we, you know, build sustainability within this field. We don't know how long this is going to last, but that in a way we have to create new ways of, you know, connective tissues so that our field continues.
And each week I've posed the same question, interviewing so many individuals from a variety of cultural organizations. How is it that in all the discussions that are being had, that there's so little mention of the impact of arts and the importance of arts in the lives of children and adults as well, you know, whether they're observers of the arts or participating in it, and the fact that you have kind of like a nest egg entity, you know, that's just, you know, wrapping itself around in places that, as I mentioned earlier, are not considered, you know. So are there platforms and other connections that you hope to have with other organizations to share these kinds of ideas, you know, so that they can be multiplied, so that, you know, that hope and faith, you know, goes beyond just those words, but come into a reality so that we can function creatively? I'll ask that of you, Kyung.
Oh, for sure, yes. I think one of the main things that we're trying to do through this gathering is to first invite anyone who identifies themselves as being part of the indie theater community to please come participate in this conversation. We are really holding this space for our community, knowing that we all walk into this space with very different needs, and just reviewing the hundreds of applications that we've received in the past 6 weeks, we know that there are people out there that really not only need the space, but need a lot of help. And being in the position we are in, I think also we have the privilege of knowing that there are people out there who have resources to provide, to be able to support, and they just need to understand how it is that they can be of help. So this space is to try to bring people both who have needs and who have resources to come together, to find one another in community, to map strategically where we are, placing ourselves in the center of ourselves and of this moment, and to start building outwards towards our most immediate communities and the larger communities that are maybe 2 or 3 degrees away from us, that we need to start organizing with and calling into this space to help us make it through. So this is very much a concerted effort to open this call. But this gathering in particular centers individual artists and independent venues, and especially the voices of people of color, disabled artists, immigrant artists, and we are holding this space to be able to really, really be of support and of connection to the community at large.
Thank you so much. Please share the coordinates. I mentioned that it's Monday, May 4th, correct, from 6 to 8 p.m., but how can our listeners access the information online or to RSVP?
For sure, yes. So our session is Monday, May 4th, 6 to 8 p.m. Registrations are free via Zoom, which is a free software people can download, and registrations can be made through our website, indietheaterfund.org.
One more time, please.
That is indietheaterfund.org. IndieTheaterFund.org.
Raquel, you mentioned something that was very, very solid in terms of how the corporate, you know, seems to elevate itself among the needs of the people. And approaching this the presentations that you all are doing helps to bring more balance to it, and just in the way that you spoke of recognizing that, and that's what we have to do to know how we can move efficiently to be able to address those feelings inside, because if not, there'll be other kinds of catastrophes happening in the mind, and we really don't want that at all. So I do hope that it sounds like both of you are kind of equally involved in administrative things, mm-hmm. but I certainly want to be able to look forward to seeing your performance work when the time is right for that to happen. But this program, once again, Building Community Care Platforms for Indie Community Theater, and you've heard the coordinates and how one can be in touch. And I want to thank you both so much for joining me this evening. And I have to really give a shout-out to A.J. Muhammad, who helped with this connection. And I hope that I'll have an opportunity to be within a closer circle in the not-too-distant future. I wish you all the best and have a wonderful night, and I'll stay in touch for sure.
Wonderful. Thank you for amplifying this. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Untitled is the program. I'm Malika Lee Whitney, and please, we need your listener support. This kind of programming can only help us to heal, help us to have a greater understanding of what our roles are to one another, and we have to have media that is not, how shall I say, inviting us to try things that have nothing to do with healing our bodies, our minds, and our spirits. So stay tuned, and we're going to invite Sean Renee Graham, who is with the field. She's the Deputy Director of Programs and Services, and the focus of what's being presented is The Rent is Due. Now what? Stay tuned.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing.
Good.
And we have to keep doing. And Sean Renee Graham, as I mentioned, has a pivotal role in the organization known as The Field. And tell us about the program that will be happening on Tuesday, April 28th, The Rent Due, that's very real, and the genesis for having this particular online Zoom conversation and what folks can expect to be part of?
Well, we all know that artists are particularly and acutely affected by what is happening with the shutdown in New York City. Many workers are folks that work independently. They're independent contractors, and a lot of our work has been canceled, which means that income is not coming. But what we also want to do is respond to the needs of folks who may not have access to information around the rent. And this is both commercial and residential, and while there's been a suspension on evictions, there has not been a suspension on having to pay the rent. we started to hear stories around what landlords are doing to create a loophole to still harass people. And so what we want to instill in our artists is their rights around their leases and the landlord and how to document their hardships during that time. So we've teamed up with a group called Indie Space. It's led by Randy Berry, who for years has been providing commercial opportunities for particularly theater companies that are in transition and maybe looking to move into a space. And we wanted to bring her expertise and knowledge, along with Paul Leibowitz and Araziv, to discuss all of these things related to real estate during the crisis.
And for some who perhaps don't have an inkling of what defenses are available to them, to what degree might this online Zoom program assist them? Will they be able to ask questions of folks who are immersed in laws relating and how to interpret, you know, what's been announced at these various, marathon discussions at press conferences?
Yes, so this is a 90-minute discussion in which there, you know, will be updates around what is happening in regards to commercial and residential leases. There is an opportunity for folks to ask questions and send questions ahead of time that are really pressing to the viewers, and also there is a question and answer period during the Zoom presentation.
Were you privy to maybe a couple of examples of what kind of questions and what concerns are really in the hearts and minds? I mean, obviously, folks need some place to live and may have a little trepidation about, you know, going through the legal process, to what degree or what kind of time frames are realistic. Because, you know, once it was announced, you know, folks might have taken an in-breath and exhaled, but the rent owing accrues, and I'm not sure I've heard anything concrete that says how that can be addressed. Is it in the stimulus plan? Is it in whatever that little bit of money they're supposed to be sending to some of us? That's a question I'd like to know.
Right. Well, immediately we do know that there are some public officials who are introducing bills in state legislation in various states, but we know that there is one in New York, and just making people aware of what's going on advocacy-wise in general will be helpful. There are also issues that I've recently read about around the country about landlords doing all kinds of crazy, trying to make deals around getting the rent and threatening people with eviction, even though in the state it has been said that they cannot do that.
Right.
I think that the artist population in particular is particularly vulnerable right now emotionally. And so we just want to provide a space for people to talk about the issues they may be facing and use Indie Space's expertise in how to navigate any of the pressures that are being put on either commercial space holders or residential leases.
Well, it certainly is a timely presentation. I'm speaking with Sean Rene Graham of the Field Deputy Director of Programs and Services, and the opportunity for you to register your concerns around the rent is due now what. Please give the coordinates for how our listeners can contact an RSVP.
Certainly. You can go to thefield.org. The title, Rent is Due May 1st, What Now?, is right on our homepage, and if you click the link there, you can register for the program. It is a Zoom meeting, and you can register, and we'll email a private link just prior to the session. You can also see where you can email my associate, Natalie Marmol, if you have a specific question you want to ask for the panel to answer.
Sounds good. Again, that's Tuesday, April 28th. 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I want to thank you so much, and I look forward to an opportunity to meet you all in person. Take care and have a wonderful evening, and we'll certainly keep this up in the airwaves as the days approach us. And again, this is a very, very important opportunity because I'm sure people are feeling jittery, you know, not knowing where that next check is going to come from, and depending on their relationship with the landlord, there were a few kind souls who had the wherewithal to not forgive the debt entirely, but take the pressure off a little bit, and a few more of them could step up. Thanks again, and
right.
I wish you a very pleasant evening.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. I'm Malika Lee Whitney, and the program is Untitled. And, well, I think we're going to go to a little special brief presentation by the one and only Gwendolyn Brooks. April is Poetry Month, in case you didn't know.
We real cool, the pool players, seven at the Golden Shovel. We real cool, we left school, we lurk late, we strike straight, we sing sin, we thin gin, we jazz June, we die soon.
Short and sweet, but always memorable. I think that piece has been shared in classrooms around the world, Gwendolyn Brooks, for Poetry Month. And I want to, again, remind our listeners to be supportive of WBAI Radio. You can do it a number of ways, 212-209-2877, and there's always operators standing by. Also, give to the number 2, WBAI, and you can also go to WBAI and text the numbers 41444. Your generous support is very helpful to us. One of the ways you can do it is by becoming a WBAI buddy, which will allow us to receive a monthly withdrawal from your credit card, which makes us able to anticipate resources that are really, really needed in this time right now. So stay tuned. There is more programming to come. Thank you so much, Max Schmid. We're all still adjusting to this working at home, so if you hear some hesitancy here and there, you know, it's a slightly different link, and it'll get better as the days progress. Thank you all. Appreciative of all the guests who appeared on the program this evening, and once again, thank you, AJ Muhammad, for your ongoing support. Have a wonderful night and evening.
Of comfort and solace during a time of darkness. Voices of faith leaders and our elected officials. This Sunday, WBAI presents an interfaith vigil led by Acting Queensborough President Sharon Lee.
Queens is the borough of families, as we know and as we love. We will only get through this together and stronger if we remain united.
As one borough, one city, and one state, renew our resolve to salute the lives lost of our loved ones.
Today, let us stand in agreement for the healing of our homes, communities, our city, state, nation, and the world.
It's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. And darkness is very real and very threatening. And yet, the light is powerful within the darkness.
Tune to WBAI this Sunday at 6 a.m. for an interfaith vigil for the thousands of lives that have been lost and the frontline and essential workers amid the coronavirus pandemic.
The truth is, we're in so much debt that the only way out is revolution or war. So now the question is, which side are you on? On.
Which side are you on? Is the urgent question for May Day 2020. The global pandemic has punctuated the fact that workers versus the corporations is the name of the governmental game. Listen Friday, May 1st, 9 a.m. until 7 p.m. to WPFW in Washington and WBAI in New York as workers and union organizers around the globe offer analysis on workers' rights and well-being and how the people can create a worker-centered world. All power to the people.
With that are you born, boy? With that are you born, my daughter? With that are you born?